Thank you. We're grateful to Julie and Roy Choi for providing us with our musical leadership this morning. There have been challenges over the past year as we've been trying to find a replacement for Gary and working without an organist, but one of the blessings is having that opportunity to, from time to time, reach out and bring new people in who for the leadership of worship, and we're glad that Julie and Roy were willing and able to assist in the leadership and worship this morning, so we're very grateful. And the hymns that you, the music that you heard as we were coming in are actually hymns from our brothers and sisters in the Korean church, and I think we had some words on the screen for one of those hymns because they're just a beautiful set of words, and so we give thanks to Julie and Roy for playing some new hymns for us today, and maybe sometime in the future we'll have to learn one or two of those hymns that we can share in that expression of faith. So we're most grateful to Julie and Roy for their leadership this morning. If you'd like to sing in the choir during the Advent and Christmas seasons, if you are a gifted person who's sung in the past, or if you've never done it before and thought, that looks like fun, I'd like to try that. This is your opportunity. We would like to have some special music throughout the Christmas season and to fill it out a little bit more with extra voices. And so if you would like to join, please speak to me and let me know. We'll begin rehearsals in about a week's time so we can be prepared for all of those special services that lie ahead. Next Sunday morning will be our Remembrance Week service here, and we'll include the act of remembrance during our regular morning worship. And the Bible study continues on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. And this week, I know a couple of people have missed a week or two along the way. This week, because we did something odd on last week, we're going to finish chapter 3, we're going to finish chapter 4, and we're going to delve deeply in the chapter 5. So that's kind of what we're looking at this week, if you would like to join us. I believe these are all of the announcements. As we enter into God's house, we light the Christ candle to be for us a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we seek to walk in the light of his love. Let us come before God with the call to worship for this morning. The call is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Give thanks for all the saints.
From their labors rest.
We gather to worship God.
Who loves beyond life or death.
With the cloud of witnesses.
By the grace of Christ.
In the presence of the Holy Spirit, let us worship God. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of the faithful in every age, show us what it truly means to be called blessed, suffering with the despised, weeping with the afflicted, hungering for justice and peace, desiring only your holy realm. Teach us to love one another even as you have loved us, so that all may know your blessings. We pray these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our opening hymn for this morning is the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. The words of the hymn will appear before you on the screen or can be found in the hymn book at number 299.
Oh.
Please be seated. For the peace and unity of the saints, trusting in the promises of God's grace, let us confess our sins to God and one another as we say together the prayer printed on the screens before you. As we remember the saints of our faith and all your children in the church triumphant, look kindly on our memories and forgive us where they falter. If we were unkind or unjust, forgive us. If we missed opportunities for compassion, convict us. If we turned our back on our neighbor, heal us. If we fail to recognize your image in the faces of people long gone, enlighten us to your presence and wash us in your mercy. Amen. In the great compassion of our God, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ has shown us God's forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, I declare to you this day the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A whole bunch of celebrations. Isn't it great when you have a whole bunch of things to celebrate all at once? That's what this week is in our worship life. All kinds of celebrations and things are happening. And so we've got to be ready. We should be joyful. Because today, let me see if I got this right. Today is Reformation Sunday. And we remember specifically on this day, the act of Martin Luther in nailing the 95 theses, his ways that he thought he could improve the church, to the door of the castle of Wittenberg, which started a great movement of which we are heirs and inheritors of the reformation of the church and the Protestant and the growth of the Protestant faith. So we remember today Martin Luther and his great act of courage long ago, as well as the other great reformed theologians and reformers, John Calvin, John Knox, and Ulrich Zwingli, my favorite, just because of the name. So we have the Reformation that we get to celebrate today and to remember. And we'll mention that briefly in this morning's sermon, because that had some implications for the next great celebration. Well, not quite the next great. One in between. Tomorrow is Halloween. And for the lovers of chocolate, it's a wonderful day. Even if it is just a little tiny chocolate bar. If you eat 6 or 7 of them, it'll do. Which I've been doing for the last week or so. So, but Halloween, which has its roots in the religious festival of All Saints Day, and there were great pageants and celebrations centered around Halloween to prepare for All Saints Day. It was a preparation day that then led into All Saints Day, where we remember all those believers who have died in the faith and who have gone on to their eternal reward. And then on the day after All Saints, which is November 1st, there's All Souls, November 2nd, where we remember and pray for all of our dearly departed who have gone forth into God's glory. So those celebrations that kind of cascade across one another are all part of our worship time this morning and over the next couple of days, and we should think about each and every one of those special days and what it means for us in our faith lives as well. So all of those things are coming up. One of them, I'm sure, regardless of your age, will appeal to you. Young people are probably more concerned about Halloween, but many of us who have who have lived a little bit longer. We'll also be remembering this week all of those who have set the great example for us of what it means to be faithful people and to live in God's glory as we move through All Saints and All Souls Day. All of those things we remember today. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us. With your word, enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we might live in hope. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 to 3 and 15 to 22. In the first year of King Belshazzar of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and he had visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream. I, Daniel, saw in my vision by night the four winds of heaven stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. As for me, Daniel, my spirit was troubled within me, and the visions of my head terrified me. I approached one of the attendants to ask him the truth concerning all this. So he said that he would disclose to me the interpretation of the matter. As for these four great beasts, four kings shall arise out of the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with his teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke into pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And concerning the 10 horns that were on its head, and concerning the other horn that came up, and before which 3 others had fallen, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke arrogantly and that seemed greater than the others. As I looked, that horn made war with the holy ones and was prevailing over them until the Ancient One came. Then judgment was given for the holy ones of the Most High, and the time arrived when the holy ones gained possession of the kingdom. Our second reading is Psalm 149, and this will be read responsively. If you look up on the screens, you will see your parts. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful.
Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king.
Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory.
Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches.
Let the high praises of God be in their throats, and the two-edged swords in their hands,
to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples,
to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with chains of iron,
to execute on them the judgment decreed. This is the glory for all his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
The third reading is from the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 23. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The final reading is from the New Testament, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 to 31. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day, and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word to us.
And our hymn, "Blessed Are They, the Poor in Spirit," number 624 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Well, there it is. Tucked into that shopping list of things that we find at the end of the Apostles' Creed are those words. I believe in the communion of the saints. Now, for the Protestant Church, that's usually just about all we have to say about saints. But what does it mean? And why do we celebrate All Saints' Day? You see, in addition to celebrating All Saints' Day today, we do in the Protestant Church also celebrate Reformation Sunday on this, the last Sunday of October. And while the Roman Catholic Church has used the term saint to recognize those people of faith who have exhibited exceptional degrees of holiness and closeness to God, the Protestant reformers rejected this understanding of the word saint and how then they were viewed within the broader church. For the Protestant reformers, first, following the teaching of the book of Hebrews, the reformers affirmed that there is only one person in heaven who mediates for us at the throne of God's grace, and that is Christ alone. Therefore, we don't pray to a saint when we've lost our keys, or to another saint as we prepare for a long journey. For us, as Protestants, it is Christ who intercedes on our behalf at the throne of God, and it is Him to whom we pray, and Him alone. But secondly, the reformers found that the word saint in Scripture really had a much different and more inclusive reality than those that were venerated by the Catholic Church. In Scripture, the saints who are referred to throughout Scripture are we, as we see in the readings that we read today, all of which speak of saints, are of a much more common lot. Simply put, the saints are those who have been blessed by God. To be a saint is not for us to exhibit some special understanding of the faith, but rather it is to have received the gift of God. As we heard in the reading from Ephesians this morning, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things, according to His counsel and His will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of His glory. And then a little bit later, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know Him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance to the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power for us who believe, according to the work of His great power. We are saints because God has planted the seed of faith in our hearts, and He has tended it and fed it with care through the Holy Spirit, so that each day we may grow in faith and understanding and become more like Christ as we come to grow in faith and love, and that we might understand the fullness of the glory of God. The saints, then, are those who seek God with pure and sincere hearts and who seek to live into God's kingdom. The saints are people just like us. The miracle of our sainthood is far more simple than what you might expect. It is nothing more than to live each day trusting in God and not losing hope. And that's what lies at the heart of our reading from Luke's Gospel this morning. And I think I have to say, it helps us, perhaps, to understand how those who Jesus mentioned in that reading can be considered blessed. How those who have been named in that reading can be seen as the saints of the kingdom of God. Because, let's be honest, that reading makes no sense. I think it's understandable that many people in the church are just a little confused when they read these lists of blessings that Luke has included here this morning. When Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. And blessed are you when people hate you. And when they exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man." Poverty, sorrow, hatred. They seem so far away from how this world in which we live would define being blessed. But there it is, in black and white, or maybe red and white. The words of Jesus, "Blessed are you." But we know that our God is a God of justice, who has special concern precisely for those who suffer injustice. From time and again in both Old and New Testament, God turns towards those who are in distress, and God hears their cries and delivers them. But more importantly than even this, we know that God is working out the redemption of all of God's creation, and that when he has achieved that final goal, the sufficiency of God will be made manifest. On the day that God's kingdom is realized, the hungry will be no more. The poor will be rich. Those who weep will laugh, and those who are hated will be once more brought back in to community and loved and accepted. But did you notice where Jesus goes after this? The other key element of this list of blessings that we read in Luke's Gospel this morning is that, The other key element, though, is that this is an ongoing process. These people whom God has declared as blessed endure in the faith. Despite all of their hardship, despite the persecution that they face, they continue to cling to the hope of the gospel and to trust in God's promise and that it is true. But perhaps most startling for us, in the version of the Beatitudes found here in Luke chapter 6, these blessings that Jesus declares are counterbalanced with corresponding woes. It's a very Old Testament thing to do. "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did of the false prophets." It is a reminder to us all that we have a role to play in the living out of God's providence in this world, that while the first group is blessed through their suffering, the latter group, which we might say has been blessed with the good things of this life already, have not yet received the full conversion of their hearts to turn toward those who are in need. And so they still live outside that blessing. All of us who believe in the gospel message of God's great act of redemption manifest to us in Jesus Christ know that we live in a liminal time. That is, people of faith, we live in a moment of already, but not yet. Already Christ has come to redeem the world, but not yet has he fully transformed our creation. Already hope has come, but not yet have all the systems of this world that exploit people, robbing them of dignity and security, fully taken hold on this earth. We are waiting for a moment to be completed. But if we cling to our hope that is found in Scripture, that God will come and make all things new, this is our inheritance, Paul writes, that we will glimpse the glory of God in its fullest splendor one day. In reflecting on the communion of saints in the spring volume of Call to Worship, which is a periodical, in 2014, Barbara Hedges-Gottle noted the following. She said, "The reference to the communion of the saints in the Apostles' Creed is sandwiched in between the proclamation of belief in the Holy Catholic Church and the resurrection of the body. Thus in the Creed, the communion of the saints is hemmed in behind and before by the body and the body. That is, the body of Christ, which is the church, and the resurrected body of Christ." We remember those today. We remember those today who, having served their day and age in the faith, have now gone on before us to rest in the presence of God. Those who served the body of Christ, which is the church, and now who live in the promise of the body of the resurrected Jesus. They have become members of the celestial chorus that gathers around the throne of God to dwell in his glory and to echo his praise. And we remember them. We remember their faithful service, the lessons that they have taught us, the influence that they have made on the church, on our lives, and on the world. And we recommit ourselves to the kingdom, to looking for God's blessing in the least as well as in the greatest, and in making and ensuring that God's kingdom is revealed to all. Let us give thanks for the grace of God that blesses us and makes us all saints. Thanks be to God. Amen. With gratitude for God's blessings through the power at work in Christ Jesus, we gather now the gifts of the church for the sake of the gospel. Let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Holy One, all that we have comes from you. You bless our lives with the companionship of your people, the freedom that comes from forgiveness of sin, the joy of thanksgiving for earth and all its bounty. Turn us toward those in need, in the name of the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And since you're all on your feet, we will sing the next hymn, Be Still My Soul. The words will appear before you on the screen or can be found in the Book of Praise at number 749. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shall you better know God's love and God's heart. So we come this day, we remember all those members of our church family and members of our own families and circles of connection who have passed away over this past calendar year. And we give thanks to God for their influence in our lives and for their enduring presence in God's safekeeping and care. We remember this morning Ellis Barkley and Michael Bradley, Elizabeth Bartle, and Molly McDonald, Keith Stewart, Gary Postma, Geraldine Wilkes, Clarence Adams, Dorothy Wallace, Grace Latimer, Dwayne McKinnon, Catherine Besby, Ralph Petty, Frank Wilson, Marjorie McLaren, Patricia Irwin, Joan Moak, and Rita Trudell. And we remember those who have turned to our congregation for pastoral care over this past year as they have marked the deaths of those who were near to them. Jean Jones, Renee Burrell, Jean McDonald, and Alan Price. We remember all of those whose lives have touched ours and will be remembered in our hearts. We remember Jeff Nitschke, known to Lise Evans, Gordon Ferguson, Ken Ferguson's brother, Joanne LaBelle, a friend of Nick Cox, David McDougall, the son of Archie and Gail McDougall, Gwelda Markle, wife of Keith, mother to Brian and Karen, Darcy Aikman, brother of Brenda Aikman, Yvonne Splain, wife of Oren Splain and remembered by Jeanette Secord, and Ken Wilson, the brother of Myrna Esdale. Let us come before God in prayer this day. Let us pray. God of all the ages, we praise you for all your servants who have done justice, loved mercy, and walked humbly with their God. For apostles and martyrs and saints of every time and place, who in life and death have witnessed to your truth, we praise you, most gracious God. For all your servants who have faithfully served you, witnessed bravely and died in faith, who are still shining lights in the world, we praise you, O God. For those we have known and loved, for teachers and colleagues and friends, for parents and grandparents, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, for all who by their faithful obedience and steadfast hope have shown the same mind that was in Christ Jesus our Lord, we praise you, most gracious God. Keep us grateful for their witness, and like them, may we be eager to follow in the ways of Jesus Christ. Then, at the last, bring us together to share in the inheritance of the saints of light, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught the church to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 461, Be Thou My Vision. And we will sing four verses of this hymn, verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5. If you're just following on the screen, then you don't have to worry about that because those are the only words you're going to get. But for those of us who would like to follow along in the book at 461, we will sing the first two and the last two verses. And now, let us go out into the world. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you always. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.